You don't need this for that, you know, the panel damage when you resize your screen and your applets all go in completely different places. Health and safety issues, seriously. Yes, I know. So this is the very first thing that turns up when you turn a Wii on. It has nice little fade in kind of thing. Then you press A, your little Wiimote is already connected to it. And then you get this beautiful little channel changer kind of thing, kind of interface. And I've added a couple of things here that I've downloaded. The forecast channel, internet channel. I won't be able to use those because I'm not connected to the net. So you have a little Wii Shop channel where you can go and buy new games. Photo channel, I'll show you that in a minute. A Mi channel. I bought Super Mario 64 and to run on the Wii. And then there's Wii Sports, which I'll show you in a minute. The Wiimote is really amazing. You put it in your hand and the Wii does what you expect it to. I point it at the screen and I roll.
You're expecting
it to jerk like that? Well, I mean, yeah, allow for the fact that we're doing this not really a TV. Sorry?
What are you actually thinking?
Well, right, so at the moment we've got the sensor bar here, so if I sort of come back, it'll be a little bit easier. But see, I'm rolling it now and that's changing where the hand is. It's changing. No, I'm all right. No, it's just a little bit weighing because it's pointing down and stuff like that. So the first thing you do when you get your Wii is you make a Mi. And as we go into this channel, it has new different kinds of music. Very nice. Very nice. Take the time. So we'll start in the Mi channel. And let's pick someone in the room that we can make a Mi of. Chris Blizzard. Oh, no, you're already there. Let's go and have a look at Chris. Hello, Chris. There he is. Hi, Chris. Everyone say hi to Chris. And we can pick Chris up. And we can drop him on my sister-in-law.
Can we have a real-world demonstration as well?
This is me. Does that look like me?
Yeah.
Shit, man. I'll find Pia. Hold on. Oh, yeah, there's Pia. I kind of got to see her when she does the pizza. It's very hot. Rob Collins, is Rob here? No, Rob's going to be doing something else.
Can you just go to May Parade?
Oh, well, yes, I'll find all sorts of other people there. Anyway, so all of these. Okay, John Felito, the guy who made the network work here. We've been playing Wii a lot at home when we have meetings and stuff. Alice, Jack's girlfriend. Where's Ellie, my sister-in-law, niece is my mother-in-law. So all these little characters, what happens is you when someone first starts playing with it, they create a little character, and you know the first rule is you have to make a Wii that's like you. You can't make like, you know, Super Brad Pitt Wii me. You have to make one like you. So you end up having all of these ones that you know about, but then you have a social interaction around the little me characters as well. Wow, I've got 15 now. Holy shit.
There's a dude on the left-hand side of the glass.
That's your boss?
No. There's
Isn't
a guy
it?
Sitting right next to me.
Oh, dude, that's you. Holy shit, man. That's, like, awesome. Ha-ha.
See, that came from my Wii. My Wii.
Yeah. So what happens is, when you create a little me character, you can set a thing on it to say, travel around. So when you connect your Wii to other people's Wiis, I know that sounds bad, but hey, the interface for that is actually really bad. It's optimized against pedophilia. Because what you have to do is you have to enter a 16-digit code on your end, and then the other person has to enter a 16-digit code on their end, and then it all lights up, and then your little dudes start traveling. So this is Jonathan Blanford's wife. Jonathan is, as you know, one of the Red Hat dudes working on GNOME. Still heading up Red Hat desktop team? Yeah. So we'll go back to the Mi Plaza. And you can also send, this is Jack, one of the other seven dudes. You can also send Mi's to each other. So Jonathan sent Chris's Mi to me. It's already confusing. Because he thought I would be very entertained by how lifelike it is, and wow. Yeah, the smirk just like tops the whole thing off. It's great. So it's pretty awesome. They travel around, and all of my little characters have popped up on my friend's Wii's as well. So they go into the little Mii Plaza, and they'll see like niece, and they'll say, you know, who's that? And it's like, well, actually, that's my mother-in-law. I'm like, okay, I just play baseball against your mother-in-law. Here's another great one. Oh, I'm not putting it in the right place. Larry Ewing, the guy who drew Tux and wrote F-Spot. Rock on. So this is really cool. Let's actually go and create a new me. Who should we create? Come on, come out the front. This will be an interesting kind of social experiment of, you know, how many people do we have in the room? Trying to create you. Who is that? Someone wins a prize. I'm glad the G-string developers understand gender. Start from scratch. We don't want you to look like Brad Pitt or anything. So here we start. This is pretty, like, wrong, right? So I think one of your defining features would have to be your hair. So let's go into the hair section. Here we go. We have 6 pages of hair, and we've got different colors of hair, and you can choose which side the part is on. So what do you reckon? One of them? No, this is an example of how to do it. I always start with the hair. I don't know. It seems to work for me. Yeah? You like that color? I don't know. It has to be longer, yeah. It's probably longer than that, hey? Do you give it 40 years? Top right? Dreads. That's pretty close, except it's kind of dreads. No, too much fringe, right? Bottom left, that one?
That's not bad.
Oh, interesting. No, not long enough. Too much fringe. Oh, you got a bit of wave in your hair. Kind of, not really. Okay, I'm wrong.
Yeah.
That dude. Not long enough? Not quite fast enough.
Like,
oh, yeah, nice. Bonus helmet. Very nice. Well, let's go back to the one that everyone didn't puke at. Which one was it?
Bottom left.
Bottom left, that one. Reckon?
Yeah.
Those bangs are a bit weird.
I keep referring to you, but it's actually them deciding, right? Let's go into nose shape. Now, the weird thing about the noses is that I think that this is where some kind of racial incompatibility comes in. You have a Japanese nose, and then you have all of the Western noses. So, like, this dude, booyakasha! What the hell is that? Whoa! Right? It's like, they're enormous! But you can make them all smaller and bigger and move them around and shit. Which one?
Middle second from the top.
This dude?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do we need to make it bigger? Okay, that's clearly unreasonable. That dude?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's do eyes. What color are your eyes, man?
Brown.
Whoa. Okay, we'll start there. That's clearly looking completely wrong. Eyes are actually really, really hard because you can rotate them and resize them and move them in the middle and stuff like that. So you're going to have to look at them and they're going to have to tell me what's what. This guy?
Yeah. Well, see, that he looks like this after drinking tonight.
Any in here? Bottom right? Dude, they want to give you girly eyes.
Must be my feminine allure.
That's all right.
No, that one.
If you rotate them a bit,
You're going to have a very long face.
Yeah.
Oh, well. You happy with that?
Yeah?
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 Okay, okay.
The eyebrows.
Do you want to get the eyebrows first? Okay.
Unibrow.
Less of an angle.
This guy?
Yeah.
That's alright.
What have we got up to on this
week? We're gonna go. How about with your facial shape?
Yeah, you think we should just focus.
Yeah, I think we're going back to that guy. All right, definitely mouth time. Yeah, we can do rosy cheeks. Very nice. Very nice. The problem with that is that there's only one person, that Mimi character from Drew Carey, that works with that. You can't make yourself look like the me. You're meant to. Yeah. Happy with that? Which guy? Where?
That doesn't actually change anything.
Yeah, no, without the. Oh, yeah, that's looking much better.
Yep.
Okay, let's put a mole on you. Very nice. Do you ever? All right. See, now you're getting, like, you know, style suggestions for a... You should try that, man.
I'm getting style suggestions from a room full of hackers.
don't diss them too much. They're making you remember. So, taller and skinnier. Okay. You want your nickname to be?
My IFA name or something?
Yeah.
N-O-R-S-A-A-O.
One of the really pleasant things about typing on the Wii is that every single time you put the Wiimote, you point the Wiimote over something you can click, it vibrates. So you actually get the force feedback for something to click. Which is really awesome. Clearly.
November.
It doesn't ask the year. How do you like that?
Very nice.
Do we have a match?
Yeah.
Very nice. 6 of 10. Okay, so now I get saved and get to kick the curb. Oh yeah.
Can you do that, please?
Oh no, voodoo wee. Scary thought, scary thought. So one of the... So one of the cool things is you can send... Oh, we're not on the network, so we can't do that. But you can send a little character to a friend, and you can also put it on the controller itself. So when I go over to a friend's house, and I've never played with their Wii before, I can just take my own Wiimote and copy it on, and then they have my character on their system, and so whenever I play my character against them in, like, tennis and stuff, I can, you know, have all my scores and kick their asses and stuff like that. It's really awesome. So let's jump out of here.
You put on, like, 50 kilos, and then go and, like, modify your character.
you can modify your little me character. Now that we've got you in the system, here's your strap on. Yoink. Let's start.
Start at the screen.
I hit one
while
doing the screen.
So one of the great things about the Wii Sports games is that most of them you don't actually need to point at the screen. You just have to point at the screen to get to it. So once we actually get in there, I'm going to walk over there and you stay here and we'll play. So let's start with tennis. And we'll say more. And then you press 1 and 2 on him.
1 and 2.
And then let go. Yep.
Mm.
It takes a little while. Wang. Did you press 1? Okay. So that's your little peek in there. Okay.
Flashing my eye.
This is
Barry.
You
No, not usually. I think maybe we have a... Yeah, I think we might have a battery bubble.
Go up to it.
Did it? Press them again? Awesome demo. Rock.
Open up the back.
Anyone have AA batteries handy?
Yeah, I do.
Seriously?
Good.
You're a legend. All the way from Portland with AA batteries.
You told me I've got 2 weeks left.
Yep. Just those two buttons. Ah, there we go. All right.
This thing actually closed.
So we'll go. Two players. Change. Yep, and tighten in with this guy as well. So I choose my little character, and I also press OK because it, for some reason, it asks every single time whether I'm left-handed or right-handed. Not something I really want to change day to day. It's just an interaction mess.
Mine doesn't.
Oh, really? It doesn't do that every single time?
It's really handy. It helps every time, but if you're like, you've got John Howard or Chopper on your Wii, and you have somebody, oh, I want to play as Chopper, you know, they can play as Chopper.
True. Okay, so. Press the tip, the yep, rock and roll. Don't need the sensor bar with 10. Here we go.
Wow, you're so skillful.
Yeah, man, over 2,000. The only problem is now I can't play, because if I play, I get under 2,000 stuff. So, Stan, come back up here. I'm serving, so you're going to have to hit me back. Maybe face the screen. Like you're playing tennis. Kind of like playing tennis. So does it feel natural already? Not really? Okay. Maybe we picked the wrong person. That was a little bit hard. Sorry about that one. You get to serve next. So throw up. You can press A or throw up. And then hit it. Yeah. You can get front guy.
What?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So your character will run around, and there's a really subtle thing where... Dang it! So as I was saying, it has yelling at the Wii. That happens quite a lot. You lose. Isn't that such a happy song? You lose. So one of the great things about this is that you actually get to play you in the computer game, and then when you win and when you lose, you cry in the computer game. So I'm going to jump back out for a minute and go back to some of the other bits. I have to come over here now. Oh. I'm going to show you a little TV. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, awesome. $50
Yeah.
The crazy thing about it is it's got 3 accelerometers in there, and it's got a little infrared thing, all kind of stuff.
It's got one.
Awesome. One? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, this is the little... I'll just jump back out again so you can see where I went. There's a little message board thing in here. You can jump in here. And this is great for parents. It can show you how much time you spent playing all of the different games. Funnily enough, you can't delete this one. So this guy, Wii Sports News, Wii Sports debut. The following player has been added to the player list. So we can delete this message if we want.
Yeah, yeah, arrange that. I'll leave it there for a moment.
And it's got a little face on it and stuff like that. So I think. Yeah, that's the one with today's play history. So you can send messages, you can write memos and leave them on the message board. You can send... Oh, I'm not going to get this because of the net connection. So these are the people who I've matched up Wii numbers with. It works really similarly to the way that instant messaging does, except optimized against pedophiles. That's really the only difference. So Jonathan has this little... Sorry? Oh, yeah. It's such a hassle, man. Like, 16 characters. Like, it's not even a phone number.
I forgot
about it. Then you can jump into the calendar and stuff like that. So it's got all these cool things. And then you can go into the awesome little browser, which I can't show you. It's an optimized version of Opera for the Wii, and it can run Flash. So you can actually watch YouTube on your TV with your Wii using the little browser thing. Pretty cool. Anyway, so the reason why I wanted to show you guys this stuff... it's just cool, man. Well, so what was actually potentially going to happen here was the launch of the GNOME Mobile and Embedded Initiative, which we're probably going to launch in a few weeks' time instead of now. That's going to be absolutely huge, so you guys know about it ahead of the general public, I guess. Basically, what's going on with that is we've got companies like Nokia, PalmSource, Calabra, Fluendo, all of the cool little consulting companies and some of the really big companies, Garmin, coming together and working on the embedded infrastructure, GTK, all of the GNOME libs that don't include libgnome, all that kind of stuff, because all of this stuff runs on all of their devices. So Nokia have shipped the 770 and now the, is it 800, is it? 800. And they're full to the brim of awesome GNOME goodness. It's just on a completely different kind of device. PalmSource are going to be shipping their next It's called Access Linux Platform because they no longer use the name Palm Source. And it will be the Palm operating system ported to GTK, displayed with all of the GTK goodness using all of the stuff that we're used to on embedded devices. Who watched the iPhone launch with King Wanker? Yes, I watched it too. Very enraging. But the numbers he put up during that talk were really interesting and very valid. When I went to South Africa a little while ago, someone gave me the figures, 10 million PCs. They have a population of about 40 million. They have 10 million PCs and 40 million mobile phones. So there's vastly more mobile phones than PCs. And they even use mobile phone minutes as currency. Seriously, like, it's just easier to trade minutes between your mobile phones. You transfer it, you can do it with SMS and stuff like that. And so that ends up being used as a micropayment versus, you know, like, inordinately expensive dollars. You know, like a dollar for us would be like, you know, dragging a road train with cash in it versus the micropayment of your mobile phone. And I actually saw some really interesting pictures recently. There's a great cottage industry built up of charging mobile phones. So there's a dude sitting there with like all these adapters and a whole bunch of car batteries, and people just come up and give him a mobile phone. He charges the mobile phone for you because you don't have that kind of infrastructure. You can't plug it into your own car battery, which runs the light in your hut, because that light has to run for a week on a car battery. Crazy stuff, totally different to our experience, but massively important in that the desktop is actually not where any of the interesting stuff is going on in terms of growing the market substantially. So I spoke at GLIDEC a couple of years back about 10x10, the idea that, you know, GNOME would get 10% of the global desktop market by 2010. We're going to do that, but we're going to do it in a way that we never really quite imagined. GNOME is going to be installed on mobile phones, handheld devices, all those sorts of things that I wouldn't have imagined back then. Like, you know, the 770 was around and things like that, but it didn't seem like such an important platform. But Steve Jobs has turned around and said, yes, we won't be allowing third-party development for the iPhone. You won't be able to install random applications. Not all! So many things right, and then... So, yeah, of course, with our platform, you can actually create your own platform as well. So the reason why I wanted to show you this is some of the social interaction stuff around the idea of creating a little me character that is you and sharing it with your friends, the kind of instant messaging interactions there. Chris, do you want to talk for just a tiny moment about some of the sugar stuff? Go and see Chris's keynote and go to the sugar tutorial that Chris is doing later in the week. But can you just explain the instant messaging bits and the present stuff?
So one of the things good? No? Oh, you can hear me. All right. So one of the things we're doing is deploying into these smaller groups, 10 to 30 to 100 people. So one of the things we've done is make it possible for you to collaborate with people on that small of a level, right? You just see who's around. That's a really important concept, which is who's around you, who is on the local network, allowing you to do things like browse the web together. But the most important thing to realize is the social experience, and it's around the collaboration aspect. It has nothing to do with sort of how do I get my file to this other guy. Really, it becomes about the people, which is a really important concept, I think, in One Laptop Per Child, and discovering sort of what you can do with network computers that we haven't been able to do before. So that's the sort of high-level goal. At a lower level, we're sort of redesigning what it means to have a client computer experience. You know, we've got no desktop metaphor. We have no files that are exposed really easily. We're trying to build a system around collaboration and around creation, but we're trying to avoid the complexities that files tend to offer into that system. So we're also trying to solve some of that problem. I mean, like, you've never seen a file here. You're allowed to push around objects, and you're allowed to find your friends. We're sort of going down that path as well. So
maybe it's a small bit about the journal as well.
Yeah, so one of the things we're doing is we're building this thing called the Journal, which is supposed to be the replacement for sort of a file system. The Journal is basically where you imagine, like visually imagine a weblog, but you know, you've got a bunch of objects that you've created, a bunch of objects that you've gotten from other people. Really, it's about the artifacts that you create. You're able to share from that point. You're able to say, you know what, I want to send this to my friend. You just send it to your friend. Or I want anybody able to find that, so you're able to look at other people's journals for stuff that they've actively shared or actively made available. And we're really trying to create a very rich environment around being able to share locally with the people who are around you.
And it looks kind of like a blog.
It does look like a blog, a little bit, really.
So there's some really amazing stuff going on in OLPC land. The Journal and the present stuff that they're doing, I think, is really, really interesting stuff. And there's some really fantastic technologies that we've got that are part of that, but are not part of GNOME proper. So, I mean, part of that is because they're new technologies, but part of it is because despite the fact that we have this environment in which integration seems to be really simple, you know, we've got all this open code, we should be able to put all of the plumbing together and make things work together. Every now and then, it looks like we've got these fantastic technologies that just sit in their own little spaces and they never come together. So part of the bits and pieces that are behind the present stuff with OLPC are things like telepathy. What are some of the other really awesome GNOME things that have come up in the last couple of years? GStreamer, I think, is a really good example. Avahi. Avahi is a really great example. Diva, absolutely. Cairo. Network manager, was that someone very quietly saying? Right, because it sucks? No. Rocks on my laptop. Sucks on my old laptop. Other ones? All the new composite stuff? And all of these things are kind of living in their own little worlds. Like, it's only just recently that we've got telepathy joining up with Avahi to give us link local Jabber messaging, like iChat style. And that's the kind of stuff that's driving some of the things that's happening in OLPC land. And it's this kind of stuff, it's this social kind of stuff that is really going to define why a platform matters, like beyond the desktop, beyond the device that you have in your hand, and the kind of stuff that ends up being in the cloud. So a really good example of this is Mugshot. Who here has actually used Mugshot? Not too many people. Who regularly uses it and likes it? Yeah, that's less. Who thinks it's a fucking interruption?
Who knows what it is?
Yeah, okay, so that's the thing. Red Hat released this thing, this Mugshot, and everyone's like, Havoc can't describe it because he's trying to be all theoretical on us. So it could be anything. So my summary of it, and Chris is going to chuckle, because design thinking means that you don't actually design a thing. You have to design your head around what's possible. It's an aggregator for social services, social networking stuff. So I find it really cool. Who laughed at that? Why? Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah, good. Click, double check. So the thing that I really love about it is that I have a bunch of friends who have, you know, Flickr and YouTube and their blogs and things like that. And now instead of, like, going to 50 million different places to find out what they're doing, it just pops up on my screen and interrupts me and scares the shit out of me sometimes late at night. But I can also go to their little Mugshot pages and see everything that they're doing online. And it goes through so much stuff now. It's like LinkedIn, YouTube, Flickr, Dig, Reddit, Rhapsody, Last.fm. Delicious, that's a new one. Kegarati. Who I am on the web. Does Havoc say that now? Oh, okay, all right. I wish I could show it to you, but we've got the Wang Wi-Fi stuff that, you know, I won't be able to click onto it. But grab Mugshot, download the little client thing and start mucking around with it. If you have a bunch of logins on social networking sites, add them all in and things like that. So yeah, I wanted to draw your mind to the potential for integration on all of these cool technologies we have and the kind of things that are going on between, like, you know, the Wii, things going on OLPC, and a lot of the stuff that's actually going on are very, very close to what we're doing, but a little bit further away, so things like MAMO and stuff like that. All of this is going on around the GNOME universe, but we're just not getting out there and bringing it in. GNOME, sure.
How do we make it happen?
How do we make it happen? The core thing is having someone who has a really awesome idea, and they don't necessarily have to have the energy to do it, but they have to know someone who has the energy to do it, and spreading their ideas and stuff like that. Now, I mean, I haven't got a grand plan for how we pull all of this together and make, you know, the super duper thing that makes everything rock, because I don't know that there is one. But at the moment, we're still, you know, going down this path of the enterprise desktop and stuff like that, and we've got a few people making embedded devices. But we haven't got a core idea of what, and I don't like talking about GNOME 3.0 because I don't think it's an interesting discussion. Like, what we're actually doing at the moment in the 2.x series, every 6 months we can integrate stuff that we've been doing. Ooh. Sorry. The which? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Topaz was like a way of trying to get people off it, but oh, it's no worse. That wiki page, holy shit. I've updated the 3.0 wiki page. It's like, we don't want to do it. It's not relevant anymore. It's just for the recording. You'll still have to swap out. I think to a certain extent that's kind of already happening because, you know, you've got OLPC doing their thing, we've got MAMO doing their thing, and then a lot of the Novell projects are now like, you know, Beagle's over here and Tango's over there and stuff like that, and it's become sort of out of GNOME. How do we make the brand GNOME something that's worth being associated with anymore? Well, this is GNOME.com today. Yeah, this is the one that we get to have on this side of the planet. Another aspect in the branding thing which I find really fascinating is that the distros have never really had an interest in pushing the GNOME brand because the value that their customers see generally ends up being, here is Ubuntu and Ubuntu really rocks, and here is Red Hat and Red Hat really rocks, and there are different kind of brand associations and those sorts of things. So half the time you don't actually get to see GNOME in front of people, whereas the embedded developers that I've been talking to are actually really interested in putting a foot, like a GNOME certified device or something like that, on the box, on the outside of the box. So you can imagine going into a shop and seeing, you know, a device that has a GNOME foot on the outside of it. That would blow me away. It'd be so cool.
Yeah.
GNOME. What's else? Linux or GNOME? Linux has a bigger name, unfortunately. They could. Yeah, they're not. Yeah, it's GNU / Linux all over again, except it's a foot. It's a handheld device with a foot. Yeah. And for the embedded folks, that's actually true. At this point. But the distro folks, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Being, you know, a conference organizer and stuff and not having the embedded launch to do, I thought I'd share some of this stuff with you guys. Perhaps launch some conversations with you. Who's actually interested in hacking on some of these projects that we mentioned? Cairo, telepathy, all this kind of stuff. Gossip has actually switched to the telepathy branch by default. Have we come to the end of our time? Are you watching time? Rock and roll. Thanks.